Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1306. This is host Danny Pena, and on this exclusive podcast audio recording, I sat down with Respawn, a couple of the dev team, during Latinx Games Festival. It took place here in Los Angeles, and we talked about their experience, you know, getting into the industry, you know, as a Latino and everything. And it's a great, great conversation. We talked about all kinds of things, and I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. There's also at the end some Q&A questions too from the audience. It was a packed house, completely full, and I had a great, great conversation with them and everything. So, but later this week, a very, very important episode. On Wednesday, I'm releasing hands-on impressions and also my one-on-one sit-down with Sam Lake at Remedy Games, all about Alan Wake 2. You don't want to miss this. This is a great, great podcast, and I'm very excited to release this. This is a really good episode, so I can't wait. So for those who are listening, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do, again, all you have to do, just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, and also, more importantly, post your review. It only takes a couple seconds of your time. All right. And plus, it will help us climb top of the charts because of your support. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussions, then please continue to send questions. I'm saving those so we could have an all family episode. All right. So send it in. If you have questions and comments about our previous content, or you have questions of stuff that's happening now in the game industry and you want us to answer your question, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I'm going to play this podcast. Again, this is an exclusive. You're not going to find it nowhere else. Enjoy this, and please let me know your thoughts about this conversation with Respawn Entertainment. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. How's everybody doing here? All right. Cool. Hi, my name is Danny Pena. I'm a founder and host of Gamertag Radio. I've been doing this now for 20-something years. I don't know if anybody are fans of our podcast. Make sure to subscribe. Yeah, we're everywhere. So, but today, we're going to have a special panel here with one of my favorite studios. I have a couple of stories I will mention later about Respawn. But yeah, Respawn Entertainment, everyone. Give them a hand of applause, everyone. So let's start with introductions. You want to introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you do at Respawn?
Sure. Hi, I am Desi Vargas. I am a development director currently working on our Star Wars FPS title at Respawn. Yeah, is there anything else you want me to say? That works?
Hey, everybody. My name is Daniel Suarez. I'm the Senior Vice President of Operations at the studio.
Hello, my name is Moy Parra. I'm an animation director working on Apex Legends.
Hi, I'm Jen Vasquez. I'm a build engineer on the Apex team.
Awesome, awesome. So let's start off with this question right here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the gaming industry.
Sure. So I am Puerto Rican. I was born in Puerto Rico and moved to Orlando, Florida when I was 2. I initially wanted to be in engineering for some reason. I was always an artist. Growing up, drew, painted, everything. And I decided I hated engineering when I got into the program. So I decided to follow my passion and go into animation. So I switched schools, went to University of Central Florida, Go Knights, got my bachelor's in character animation there. And then I started my opportunity with a small studio in Orlando called Steamroller Studios, worked there, and then started with EA. So, and then ended up at Respawn.
So I'm a first generation Cuban American. I grew up in Southern California, and where I lived, I grew up in Burbank, and everywhere around me, there was studios. Across the street from my high school, there was Disney. 5 minutes away was Warner Brothers. 10 minutes away was Universal, NBC, ABC. So growing up, it was like, okay, I think I'm going to work in entertainment. You know, growing up as a kid, I got an Atari 2600 when I was 7 years old. And that, yes, it was, Danny and I have very similar starting how we got, I think, enamored and passionate about games. But I think from that age, you know, I had this deep love for video games and just this thirst for, okay, knowledge about games, knowledge about what was there. And you got to remember, this is before YouTube, before blogs, before anything, right? So it was like, okay, go to the local store, and if they have a magazine, just read that, or just find other people that you knew that knew about games. Went to college, Cal State Northridge, go Matadors. You know, I got a business degree, but it's like there wasn't game jobs. But I had to sort of follow that sort of lead of like, hey, let's get into entertainment. And while I was in college, I was actually working at an insurance company because it paid really well. And my background, I had learned a lot about computers, so I was working on computers there. And that weird opportunity that I had as a sort of college job got me a job at an entertainment company in their HR department. And this was a small company on the eve of their biggest product. So it was a company called Saban, and they had made the Power Rangers TV show and toy line. I had started as employee like number 75 before this thing became a hit. And over the course of the next sort of year and a half, they ended up hiring like 300 people, and they hired one guy to come in to basically manage them making video games. And I remember seeing this guy's resume, and he had worked at EA, and he had worked at Disney, and he had made games. And I was like, oh, my God, this is what I want to go do. Like, I don't want to be an HR. No offense to HR folks, but it was not where my passion was. And I remember the day he started, I literally looked at him and said, you are my key to getting into the games industry. And luckily, and you guys will hear this theme when I talk more, but you need to find somebody who's your advocate. You need to find someone who's your mentor that believes in you and sees your passion. And he was someone that saw that in me. And even though I begged him every day, hire me, hire me, hire me, it took him about 6 to 8 months to do that. But it offered me my first door into the games industry back in the mid-90s.
Let's see. I grew up drawing a lot of pictures, and I never thought that that would turn into a career, as it usually happens. Plus, I didn't think that people would get paid to do that kind of stuff that I was passionate about. So I had the conversation with my parents about, you need to do something that is actually going to get you paid. And that something turned out to be becoming a dentist, which was my original path. And I went to college. I started taking the pre-dental sort of classes. And it was when they showed the PowerPoint of what you would be doing as a dentist. And I saw the pictures of the teeth and the surgeries. And I was like, nope, I walked out. I'm like, this is not going to be for me. Thank you. They make a lot of money, but no, thank you. And then somehow I came across an animation program in my college. And of course, I wanted to do Pixar. I wanted to do Disney. I wanted to do film. And it wasn't until some reviews that I had with some recruiters that were kind of ruthless, but important to know where I was, that they said, this is not good enough yet. You need to work more on your craft, which I did. And as I started to pick up little jobs here and there doing little animation stuff, one day I got an email from Sony where they said, we're wondering if you would be interested in working on our game. And they don't say which game. So I did a little bit of research and I came to realize, I think they're hiring me for Uncharted 4. And I was like, I asked, but they wouldn't say, right? They said, well, if you accept, we'll tell you. I was like, crap. So I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And yeah, it turned out to be Uncharted 4 in the cinematics department. And not too long after that, I ended up at Respawn, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful place ever since.
For me, I'm pretty new to this industry, but I loved games ever since I was a young girl. It was something I looked forward to doing after school. And so I knew I wanted to be part of games, but I didn't know what exactly that was. So I got introduced to coding in high school, and it was more like turning on LEDs and turning motors around, and I was just like, nope. But when I was given just purely software, I was like, this is what I want to do, and I love this. And so it made sense that two of my passions, gaming and coding, would go hand in hand. And so that's why I pursued a degree in computer science. And basically, towards the end of my education, I decided to apply to some internships. And I was pretty late to the window, but there was one internship available on Respawn, and it was a software engineering internship. And so I said, just hit apply, it's okay. And as soon as I hit apply, I said, I probably got rejected, but it's fine. At least you did that. And then one thing turned to another. I got an interview, got the internship, and then I did really well during my internship and got a full-time offer. And so I've been here for about 8 months, so I'm still fairly new to this, but it's been wonderful. I love Respawn, and I love what we do, and I've been learning so much. And the team I'm on is just awesome.
That's awesome. Really, really awesome. You know, when I started, it was hard for me because there was no Latinos. Every time I attend an event, I'm like the only one, right? So that was really, really tough for me back then, for me. So was there any challenges for you guys that, you know, starting getting into the gaming industry?
I would say for me specifically, I grew up in Orlando, which is like pretty much second Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. There's so many Hispanics there. So I was very, very lucky to grow up in an area where I saw a lot of diversity, not just in Hispanics, but different cultures as well. So even going to school for character animation and figuring out going into the industry, I was lucky that I had a lot of mentors, like Daniel was saying, that kind of represented different cultures. Being Hispanic myself, I obviously wanted to see our representation in the gaming industry. And whenever I started at Steamroller, it was a smaller studio, so there was a lot of diversity, but I was one of the few Hispanic people there. There was a couple others, and obviously we bonded. I mean, you know how us Latinos do it. Like, we get together and we start chatting chisme and stuff. So it was really great for me. I didn't really face many challenges in regards to like being Hispanic and having troubles getting into the industry. I was just really lucky that I had some great mentors, but it's always a goal of mine to try to see more diversity in our workplace, and Respawn does an amazing job at that. I mean, we just really have amazing people in our studio working towards that. So, yeah.
Cool. You know, similar, I don't think I faced a lot of challenges, but I did feel isolated in the sense of there wasn't a lot of Hispanics. There just wasn't. You know, I remember the first several jobs that I had, I worked at Disney for 4 years, and while there was Hispanics in other departments in game creation, not so much. But I think that gave me the sort of momentum that when I saw somebody in QA or people that expressed interest in wanting to come up, really being able to nurture, like, no, anything's possible. Like, you can, you know, put in the time, meet the people, you know, show your passion, do good work, and people will notice. And less of, you know, oh, well, he's a Hispanic kid or not a Hispanic kid. I think people, you know, there was enough people in this industry that were just super excited that they're making games. And I think because of that, you know, I think doors opened for folks. But I think now it's just, you know, there's so much more diversity right now that exists in our industry. It's getting better. Like, but for a while, yeah, it wasn't there. But I really do think in the last 10 years, there's just the momentum of bringing people in from different crafts has really sort of helped that.
I also want to bring this up because I remember the first time hearing that the creators of Mortal Kombat, they're Latinos, right? So I had no idea. When I found out Ed Boon, Dominican, go Platanos, and also Tobias, Mexican, right? So that was something that it felt like, okay, so there's an opportunity for Latinos also to be part of the industry too, you know? So it is important, I think, for us to talk about our work, talk to people, and so other people know that there is Latinos that are part of also in the industry too. So,
yeah, for me, it definitely wasn't that it was a complication being Hispanic in the industry, right? In my day to day, there wasn't too many coworkers that were Hispanic per se. However, something that is cool is that games extend far beyond just the people that you work with. It's the users, the players. And I do like to be active in social media. And it's been really rewarding to be able to connect with people that are of my background. And for whatever reason, when somebody learns that I am from Mexico, there's like a bridge that definitely forms. And people feel a lot more attached, a lot more close. And interestingly enough, I guess I feel the same too. For whatever reason, we start speaking Spanish or we start tweeting back and forth in Spanish, and it just feels cool. It feels more close and more intimate, and there's a super rewarding aspect of that outside of just your coworkers is the community that you can reach.
I would say for me, there was a couple challenges just because, first of all, being a woman in technology trying to break into the industry was one thing, but being a Hispanic woman in technology trying to break into the industry was a whole different challenge. And I would say it's mostly like a confidence issue, just like not seeing someone on the other side of the finish line that was like you was really, really hard. And so it took a lot of hard work, determination, patience to get to the point where I was okay moving forward with a career in game design or in game development. Mm-hmm. And so just because I couldn't see someone on the other side of the finish line didn't mean I couldn't be that person. And so it took a lot of confidence. And now that I'm here and I've kind of reached my dream, I mean, there's still not that many people who are like me in Respawn. And that's no fault to Respawn. That's just kind of how it's been. And so being a software engineer here, there's not many women. But on top of that, there's not many Hispanic female software engineers. So again, just like a confidence thing. And you just have to like realize that like I'm not here because I'm female. I'm not here because I'm Hispanic. I'm here because I have the skills and they saw the potential in me. And so just being like mentally okay with that was a big, big thing for me. But I would say I'm still actively going through this challenge.
And I also want to say that, you know, you just started, but you getting in, that's also going to open the doors for other people too. So don't see it as like, all right, it's a very small group of people. All of us, we're going to make the change in the industry. So by you getting starting working at Respawn, that's going to make a big, huge difference in the future for a lot of other people. So now this month, I know we're celebrating for Latinos out there. So what did this month means to you personally?
For me specifically, I love being Puerto Rican. I love my culture. I love visiting the island and I just love being able to share that with other people who haven't been exposed to it. I mean, we are a tiny little island in the Caribbean, so and usually we're on the eastern side of the United States. So coming out to California, it was a little bit of a shock to me because there's not a lot of Puerto Ricans out here, at least that I've met. And that's just because it's so far from the island. So being able to share my culture, especially now with the holidays coming up, getting some coquito and all that stuff, you know, like being able to share that with a lot of the people I've met here in California is really awesome. And also to Jen's point, like being that person in the gaming industry that maybe somebody else can look at and be like, oh, well, she's a Hispanic and she made it into the gaming industry. I think that that's really rewarding for me. And also being able to find those people and mentor them and help them in any way that I can to have a little bit more representation and sharing all of the knowledge that I've gained because of the mentors that I've had to other people, kind of like passing it on.
I think for me, there's probably three aspects of the way that I look at it. I think one, it puts a spotlight on Hispanic influencers or Hispanic people that have made a difference in our community, both in the past and in the present. And being able to understand their stories, their perseverance, how they've succeeded, and just, you know, exposing that to a wider audience, for me, it becomes an inspiration. I think the other piece of it is, you know, I'm Cuban American. I grew up here. My entire family was born and raised in Cuba. They came here to flee communism. They had one suitcase in their hand when they came to Los Angeles, and they, you know, they respawned. They hit the reset button and started over again. And that story, you know, for me is like, you know, work hard, persevere. You can overcome challenges just with the support of the network around you. But it's those stories that I instill to my kids. It's stories that I instill to other people where it's like, you know, however hard things can be, if you focus and really sort of drive yourself, you can overcome these challenges. And then I think the last piece is, you know, from an education standpoint to inspire. We are all here because we care about this as a studio. Diversity, inclusion is really important to Respawn. It's important to the games that we make. We want everybody to play our games to feel like they're being represented in our games. And we want people in our studio to feel that they're represented in the games that they make. So we're here today to talk to you guys, to tell you, hey, those doors are open. That opportunity to make games and be part of this industry is very possible.
Yeah, I think for me, I moved from a different state, from Utah. And when Hispanic Heritage Month came around, it was like almost like non-existent, really, compared to California, which is a much, much larger pool. And we have two kids that are probably watching right now. And for us, it's really important to talk to them about our background. My wife is from Brazil. I'm from Mexico. And they ask me all the time, am I American? Am I Hispanic? What am I? You know, what makes I am? And we have those fun conversations with them, and this is, I guess, a time for us to reflect on that and to hopefully be able to instill in them something that's special for us so that it can be special for them, something that they need to be proud of and hold close to their heart, because it's definitely what makes us very unique and spicy, as some people like to say. But there's some awesome things about that as well, and hope to be able to carry that with in this wonderful medium, which is games.
Yeah, for me, being a first generation Mexican American, I think living in California my entire life, I think I represent like the American way too much. And so I think this month really reminds me of my roots and where I came from, and also just the efforts that were done by, you know, my family and other Hispanic community members to get to this point. I think it's important to recognize that people have different upbringings that provide them different perspectives of life and even just like the simple things. So I think it just reminds me and grounds me of like who I am as a person and my ancestry and just how far we've come in all aspects of life, not even just like the gaming industry specifically.
Yeah, I know earlier Daniel mentioned about him playing the Atari 2600. So that was my first time getting into games, right? So was there anything when you were young that inspired you, like, okay, I really want to get into gaming and even be part of the industry? Was there like maybe a moment, maybe playing arcade or playing a game or anything like that for you?
When I was younger, I had the Game Boy Color. That was my first console. So I played Super Mario on there. I loved that game. I would play it right before I would go to school. I was eating breakfast in the morning. So I loved games since then, had the Game Boy SP, all that fun stuff. And I remember when I got my Wii, when it first came out for Christmas, my parents got it for me Christmas morning. And I opened it up and I remember getting Super Mario Galaxy, which is the best Super Mario game out there in my opinion, and I even got like the collector's coin and everything. I was just so excited to play that game, and I remember I had my dad put the Wii on, like plug it into the TV and put the game in, and oh man, I just escaped to that world. And I think that's where it was for me with gaming. I just completely, like, I was in Super Mario Galaxy, like I was Mario running around and stuff. So I think just the escapism there is what really got me into it. And as I was going into my collegiate studies and everything. I mentioned earlier that I went into environmental engineering, but I really wanted to do animation. I didn't mention this earlier, but I was an artist. My dad was an artist, so he taught me how to draw and everything, and that's a very close bond that we had. So I always wanted to do something creative, and I never knew, kind of similar to Moy, that it could be a career, and kind of just digging into that memory of like, oh, I can escape into this world, and just having that kind of click in my head of like, wait, I could do this as a job too. that was a really pivotal moment for me. That's
awesome. Yeah, thinking about it now, for me, undeniably, it was during Christmas time. And that's because that was the time when I would get usually a video game for Christmas. And for me, it was like the pinnacle of the present that I could get. Don't get me wrong, getting presents from my grandma was awesome, because she would do like these little sweaters or whatever, and that was really beautiful too. But it wasn't the same as getting Crash Bandicoot, you know. that was just in another level. So of course, from that time, it was like super, super special for me.
I think for me, the game that like introduced me to my passion was Pokemon Stadium on the Nintendo 64. I thought I was the best, and just that was it. But I think my passion for trying to enter the game industry really started with esports, and saw like the community behind everything, and I really wanted to get involved. Not that I was going to become a pro, because that was never going to happen, but I just wanted to be part of the community, and so that's why I think I really wanted my dream to be in game development.
I think for me, you know, I can remember buying unique games. I remember calling Toys R Us when Pitfall came out. Do you have it? No, but it came out today. You have to have it. I remember the first time I played Doom with a friend of mine over a network connection, and just, how is this working? What's the magic that's happening? But again, for me, it's like, I didn't know these jobs existed. I didn't know this concept of, oh, you can go make games. And even then it was like, well, no, that's not a career. That's like for little kids. And I remember when I actually did finally get into games, very few people would be like, Oh, okay, yeah. And I remember being at a wedding, and someone's like, oh, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody. You work in games? And they brought their like 6-year-old kid. It's like, oh, he works in games. And it was like, but now, like, fast forward to today, you go anywhere, you go to a party, oh, dude, he works in games. What? And you literally become like this really, it's a cool thing. But I have a really good friend of mine, is a neighbor of mine, who loved games just as much as I did. And he worked in a corporate company. And he would tell me, he's like, yeah, I can't tell people to play games. It's like, they don't understand. And that's changed now, but it was sort of his thing. Hey, what's the secret thing no one knows about? He's like, oh, I'm a big gamer. And you know, I think that was shunned upon, but now it's so prevalent in popular culture that games are so critical. They are what we all talk about. It's what we all engage in. It's what we all sort of communicate through. So
quick story. This is not here, but that's part of the questions. But a couple of days ago, I had a speaking engagement with Respawn, right? And I was talking to the team, and I was telling them my story. And one of the stories I mentioned to them was that, you know, in 2020, during the pandemic, very tough time for me. You know, I was living in New York City during that time. And I was playing a lot of Apex Legends all the time with my brother. And then I met this young lady that we also started playing a lot, and we connected. And now we've been together now for couple of years now, over 3 years, married. We're gonna expecting having a child now, in November, and it was all because we connected, you know, closely while playing Apex Legends. You know, so thank you, Respawn, for making that happen for me. But I just want to say that, because I think it is important when, you know, sometimes developers, they're stuck in this bubble just working on the game. But when you hear stories like that, I think it's very, very powerful. So what is it how is it for you guys every time you hear something like that, of like, I met this person because I played a game that you worked on, that connection? How does it make you feel behind the scenes for you and the team?
I think that I've never personally had it done, like said to me, but just hearing your story, I'm like excited for you. Congratulations on your child that's coming soon. That's amazing. I would assume that like, if somebody ever came to me and told me that, I would literally probably start crying, because it's just so exciting. You put your heart and soul into these productions, and making sure that not only are you making a great product, but you're also making sure that you have a healthy team on your way there. And that's something that's really important to me specifically as I'm getting there. So hearing from our gamers and hearing like feedback like that, it's awesome. Congratulations. That's really awesome.
Kind of what Desi was saying, you put your heart and soul into these games. I worked at Activision for 14 years before coming to Respawn, and I worked on Call of Duty for 12 years. Call of Duty was a big franchise that a lot of people played, a lot of people would engage in. It would be their sort of their outlet for life. And I remember people would come to me and go, oh my God, Call of Duty is it was my childhood. It was part of my upbringing. It's where I connected and made my friends and friends that I still am connected with today. And knowing the amount of effort that goes into that and the value that I think people got out of that, it's really rewarding, right? And it's rewarding not just for me, but everybody that sort of touches it. And I get a lot of satisfaction now, even just kind of going on Reddit where people go, oh, hey, what did you love about this game? And they'll call out these little things that are just like, oh, little minute details of things that you saw in the game. And like, oh, yeah, I remember how that idea came together. And it just kind of reinforces like, yeah, it was fun to what we did before, but just that people notice these things and that they care about them.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most rewarding things is exactly what you just said. It's those stories that unless somebody would tell us, it would be difficult for us to know. The cool thing, kind of a bad and good thing about working on a super popular game is that you will get feedback all the time, right? All the time. People like to express very passionately how they feel about the game. Sometimes it's not so good. And we definitely hear that. And sometimes is that kind of those kind of stories. My Twitter has a lot of people that some of them complain about certain things, which is totally fine. But then I also get those messages of people that say, hey, I was having this really crappy day and I turned on Apex and I got killed a bunch of times, but it was fun while that was happening. or stories about kids connecting with their parents, which is something that I have found fascinating and something that has happened to me. I play with my son, with my daughter. They're much better than me at it. It's kind of embarrassing at this point, but we bond. They have to carry me to victory, right? But either way, we bond, and it's those stories that make our job way more rewarding than just moving pixels around on the screen.
Yeah, and just branching off of everyone, I think it just makes every challenge worth it when you hear those wholesome moments. And, you know, like that one day I cried at my desk 3 times. Like, I'll do that again just to hear people say that Apex made them, you know, a new friendship. And, I mean, even for me personally, I don't think I would have met some people in my life if it wasn't for Apex. And so even for me, like, Apex did a lot for my friendships and just my relationships with people. And so I appreciate you know, the people that came before me who made the game. And so now, like, seeing, being the developer and seeing those relationships spawn or be created is really, really special. And it makes me want to go to work every day knowing that there's a lot of impact in what we do.
I'm going to ask one more question, but we want to get ready to do Q&A. Everybody ready for that? Got questions there? All right, cool. So one of the last questions is, for people that want to get into the game industry, you know, especially Latinos, what advice would you give them?
I'm kind of like Jen. I'm fairly new into my career. Only been with EA for 4 years. Graduated in 2019. So definitely, I would recommend if you have the opportunity to go to a university that offers either a game design program or a animation program, follow what you're interested in, or engineering, like Jen did, software engineering. It was really beneficial to me when I did my character animation degree because I got to see a lot of behind the scenes of how these games and productions are made. I specifically wanted to be an animator, but then I realized I didn't like people telling me what to animate. So I went into production management. So now it's really beneficial for my role being kind of the schedule owner and making sure that our production is going on the way it's supposed to, working with people like Moy who do the actual animations. I have the background knowledge of how they get there. So having that background knowledge is really beneficial. Going to events like this is also beneficial to hear from people who are already in the industry, hearing their stories, how they got there, joining clubs. There's a ton of different things. I mean, we have the internet at our fingertips now. YouTube has a bunch of tutorials, and a lot of these softwares you can get free trials or even for free. So just kind of diving in and trying to learn for yourself, especially nowadays where it's so accessible, is a really big step, I would say, and trying to connect with people who are like you, going to, like I said, these events, joining Hispanic clubs. There is Hispanic club at my university I joined that was game developers who were Hispanic. So it really motivates you to kind of keep going.
Yeah, I think what Desi is saying is spot on. You kind of need to be proactive. You need to put yourself out there. You know, doors will find their way to you, but you need to go and push yourself to get there. You know, I started when there was no YouTube, there was no free engines, and a lot of it was networking, right? It was literally, who can I meet that is someone I can connect with, that I can, they know who I am, they can see my passion, they understand that, you know, I really, you know, want this passionately, and that I, not only is that my passion's there, but that my work ethic and that the work that I've done and the work that I'm doing really is something where they go, okay, yeah, maybe I should connect you to somebody else. Connections and networking. Someone you may meet here today, right? And you connect with them on LinkedIn. You may run into them 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And if you establish that connection to work that connection and just maintain it, it could offer you a job. I think I've applied for 2 jobs in my almost 30-year career in making games. All of it has been through networking, through connections of people that have said, hey, you should talk to Daniel. And so the people you meet, the people you interact with are going to be your biggest supporters. They're going to be your biggest advocates. They're going to be the people that are going to mentor you. So, you know, put yourself out there, you know, don't sit home. No seas vago, quedándote ahí, you know, get out there and just try. And, you know, the first door you knock on may not be the door that opens, right? As Jen said, when she applied as an intern to Respawn, we'll see what happens. It's okay. See what happens. Because you never know, the person on the other end of that may be like, oh, I see something here. I see something here that nobody else sees. So have that courage. Be courageous.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Getting your name out there is probably the biggest thing that I can encourage people to do. We're doing something that is a bit extraordinary, a bit out of the ordinary, which is making games, right? And for that, you need to think outside the box. How am I going to get my name out there? How am I going to get noticed? Because a lot of people want to do this kind of thing, but they don't know exactly how to approach it. Going to school for it is a wonderful thing, and I will never discourage people from pursuing that. But there's a lot more that you can do besides that. I've interviewed and hired a number of people, and the one question that I have never asked them is, what was your GPA? Because I don't care. I care about their passion. I care about their potential. I care about working with them. I care about, if I bring you on my team today, what are you going to offer? What kind of cool thing can you come up with that I haven't come up with? That's the kind of thing that I want to see. And I've hired people that have had experience from college, experience from even a master's degree. And I've hired people that have come from making videos on YouTube that I found through their channel. And I left a comment and we somehow connected, and then they come in and interview and they show how much passion they have. That's the kind of people that I want to work with, because once they're in, the expectation is going to be the same. Think outside the box. What is the next feature? What's the next game? What's the next idea that's going to take the industry to the next level, that's going to engage thousands, possibly millions of players? Those are the kind of people that you need to become, because the doors will open for people like that always.
Yeah, and like mentioned before, I'm pretty new to the industry. I've only been full-time for about 8 months, so I'm going to say this is more tailored to like the juniors and the students who are looking for internships, but opportunities won't come to you. You have to go to them, and so reach out. Like, I promise people want to give you as much information as they can, but they don't know you want that information unless you tell them. And so really buff out that LinkedIn, get that portfolio up to date, and really just like reach out. I think that's how I got here today, is just like getting the help that I needed and the support from other people. And there's actually a foundation that I was in called the Hispanic Scholarship Foundation. And that's why I'm here, is because they believed in me and they wanted to help me with my career at Respawn. And so, but that wouldn't have started if I didn't reach out. And so it really, really means a lot to just reach out as a student. And you're not expected to know everything when you're a junior. During my internship, I literally said, I don't know, but they know that. It's more seeing the potential and the passion behind the person. And even if you don't have like the greatest technical skills, as long as they can see development and growth behind you, they will take a chance.
All right, my favorite part, Q&A. Anybody has any questions? You with a hand up? Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Don't be a jerk. We have a pretty big policy at the studio. We want to hire people that we want to work with. Your character, who you are, who you show up as every day really matters. And it goes back to the point I was saying earlier. The people you meet 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're going to remember, oh, they're a really good person. They don't want to hire a jerk to work with them. So like, be your authentic self. Show your passion. Show about what you do. Work hard. But, you know, mistakes I've made, you know, you're going to make tons of mistakes. You make mistakes in your day to day. You make mistakes as a leader, but you learn and it's okay. And honestly, I would say accept that you make mistakes and be authentic and saying, yeah, you know what? We screwed up here. We didn't make the right decision. And I've been at Respawn for 4 years. I think these people can tell you, oh, we've done some really good things. We've probably done some things. Maybe we could have done a little bit better. But recognizing and owning that, I think is really important.
I think that's a fantastic question, and I 100% agree with Daniel. I was going to use a much worse word, but jerk is great. Assuming that you got to the interview, at least in animation, we know that you can do the job by the point that you get the interview. We're just there to see if we want to work with you, and nobody wants to work with a jerk. Or somebody that their ego is way too big. So, you know, be passionate and be yourself, be dedicated, and make sure that people want to work with you. This is very much a team-based development. And if you're just out for yourself, it's going to be much more difficult for you.
I wanted to add on real quick. What Daniel was saying is like someone you meet here like could potentially help you get a job later on. It's so true. This industry is extremely small. It may seem big, but it's extremely small. There's people that I like worked with in my small studio that I have literally moved over and been like, oh, you want to come to EA? Like I worked with you and I really liked working with you. So like you just have to keep in mind like anyone you can meet, like Daniel mentioned earlier, like just be authentic, be kind, be genuinely interested and proactive in having those conversations and figuring out like where can you learn from them and what can you also teach them, because it's not just all like, oh, tell me what you know, because we're still learning too. All of us are still learning and we love to hear from new people and outside perspectives. So always remember you also have something to provide and give to people where maybe you want to be there eventually one day.
Yeah, and I would also say like in your academic career, like grades aren't everything. And for when I was applying to my internship, they didn't care where I came from. They didn't care about my GPA. They just cared about, you know, the projects and the pieces that I worked on. And so try not to get infatuated around the number. Grades don't really mean much to the person who you are. And so it's not that big of a deal if you don't get straight A's. I wasn't a straight A student coming into Respawn. And so it really is about the projects that you have created. And they just want to see that more than the grade behind your name.
Next question.
Hi. So I've been a sound designer in the film industry for quite some time. And I've been wanting to change my trajectory to game audio. I guess my question is for those who are in the industry or who are already graduated, is there any other opportunities for internships or any other programs for those who are already graduated who may not be eligible for the internship program if they're looking for students? Is there any other programs for people who have been outside to graduate and still have opportunities to get into the industry?
By the way, I love audio people because they make our animations much, much better than if they were completely quiet. We actually hire, at least in animation, we hire people regardless of their experience, regardless of if they are in the industry, in the film, in commercial, whatever. We've hired some wonderful people from the film industry specifically because we were looking for a certain caliber of talent that sometimes was needed that we couldn't find any other way. So it's definitely not a never a bad time to apply because a lot of it comes to timing. Timing is something that is difficult to help, but if there's a gap and if you time it just right, it doesn't matter what kind of background you have. You could just be at the right time, and if the pieces work, that's all you'd really need.
I think one other thing too is, you know, audio being your background, it's probably the most easily translated into games. Like I said, hiring animation, hiring VFX, hiring other art disciplines. I think a lot of it now today, you know, they're all working in the same tools, they're all working in the same technology. It really translates over extremely well. I can't tell you how many people within the studio we have at Respawn that have a background that started in film, but I would say it's probably at least double-digit percentage numbers. It's fairly common. So don't think that it's like, oh, hey, I don't have any gaming experience, especially with an audio background. I don't think that'll actually be a hindrance at all whatsoever.
I know there was a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Pathfinder hitbox win.
Second, why are my rankings always worse? And the real question is, how do you deal with imposter syndrome, feeling like you're not good enough?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good question. I suffered a lot from imposter syndrome. Like I mentioned earlier, I am only 4 years into my career, and I've made it pretty far. I'm kidding. No, but I've made it pretty far in my career, and usually, like, people who are development directors within EA have been in their careers longer than I have. So I was like, I must have fooled these people into thinking something. Like, I do not belong here. Like, the imposter syndrome was real. But I had some amazing managers. I will always shout out my manager on Madden. If it wasn't for him, I really wouldn't be where I'm at right now. His guidance and mentorship and even training and, like, getting me out of the imposter syndrome was key. Also just kind of self-reflection of, like, day to day, like, it's not about, of course you always have to think long term in your career, but really when you have imposter syndrome, it's just taking it day by day and saying, like, these are the goals I set out for myself. What have I accomplished thus far? And also receiving feedback from your teammates of when you receive feedback of, like, oh, I really appreciate when you did this, or thank you for setting my tasks up. Like, it really helps me that way. I don't have to do it. Like, those kind of reassurances are what kind of pulls you out of that. So that question really hits home for me because imposter syndrome was really real. I still struggle with it, being so young and being in the role that I am in and kind of looking to my peers having so many years of experience. But kind of like what I said earlier, you also have to think, like, you're learning from them, but you also have stuff that you can teach other people. And it doesn't always have to be, like, within your skill set of, like, a producer or whatever. Like, there's soft skills that you can, like, teach other people and stuff like that. So, yeah, just taking it day by day, setting your goals up and being like, I'm accomplishing stuff. I'm making it, you know.
If you find yourself carrying your team in your squad, I was probably in your squad. So thank you for that. As far as imposter syndrome, here's the reality. It actually doesn't go away. At least it hasn't for me. I was recently promoted to animation director, and I went home that night. I told my wife, I don't know what they were thinking, but I'm grateful for it. And the reality is, we are in a team, and you need to rely on your team to be able to support you as well. I have to constantly remind my own animators that they are there for a reason. And each one of them were handpicked, sometimes by me for the most part. And they need to believe in themselves as well. But the reality is that you never fully let go of, what if one day they discover that I suck? Or there's so much self-doubt that you can have. You just you just have to channel that into something positive and don't let it take more attention than what it should. But the reality is it never really goes away. But you need to surround yourself with people that are going to support you and carry you to the finish line.
100% that answer, 1,000% that answer. I've been doing this a long time. I know I actually, when I left Activision and I came to Respawn, right? It's like, I worked with Call of Duty. It's like, okay, biggest game ever. There was a little bit of self-doubt going, oh, wow, I'm going to come work with the guys at Respawn. These are the guys that originally made Call of Duty. I loved Apex at the time. I'm like, oh my God, these guys have made Apex. We were making Jedi Fallen Order at the time. The talent level, and I was like, am I worthy, right? And it's just, you go in and it's like, no, wow, these are all really cool people. They all have passion just like you do. But what Moya said is like, you also need to surround yourself with people that are gonna be positive. People that are gonna reinforce to you, no, you know what? You're here for a reason. You are here because, you know, you are good at what you do or you're excellent at your craft. You need people that are in your head giving you the positivity and that momentum and that drive, because otherwise, yeah, you'll go down dark avenues and be like, oh, I'm worried about this or worried about that. And it just gets in the way and it just becomes a blocker. But surrounding yourself with people that actually, again, care and are going to motivate you, the Madden manager that you had. Like, if you have a really crappy manager that is not helping you and growing you, it might be time to change.
Yeah, I would say for me very early on, I had major imposter syndrome, just thinking like, am I even supposed to study computer science? Like, am I on the right path? And it really came down just thinking about my goals and my aspirations. And I love to code and I happen to be good at it and I loved gaming. And so it really grounded me to think like, this is the only way like I'm gonna be happy is if I put my head down, be determined, have patience and keep moving forward. And now that I'm here, like I'm still facing imposter syndrome. And I even like think about it like weekly where like, how did my team hire a junior to engineer the builds? Like that just doesn't really make sense. But they saw potential in me, and kind of going back to everyone else's points, just having a really, really positive team is just like makes things so much better. And I don't think I go a day without like one of my teammates saying that like, you're doing so great, Jen, like you've improved so much and we see you, you know, making really big moves. And so that is also a really big help, but it's also like a two-way street. Like you have to provide that for them. And I mean, we won't be here without a team. And so just surrounding yourself with really positive people who believe in you and providing, you know, that same energy back.
I'll add one other thing too. It's like this culture of positivity. If you make games here, making games is hard. Like it is, we'd love to address that hitbox issue. It's just, it's sometimes harder than you think. And again, the amount of time and effort and just thinking of how you actually are going to solve a problem, there's not always one way to solve a problem. It actually has a lot of knock-on effects of what's happening. So creating that culture where there's a ton of stress, there's a ton of anxiety, there's a lot of pressure, you got to deliver seasons, you got to ship a game, et cetera. But that positivity, that encouragement, that momentum has to come, or else you're not going to get all the other stuff.
All right, any other questions? Go ahead. Yep.
So I wanted to ask, are there games you can think of right now that speak to the Latinx experience? And can we expect more with more diversity in the industry?
Great question. I think we are starting to see the early infancy of this in our games now. We were just talking about it the other day with like Miles Morales being a great example of that. I think Apex has been a great sort of game that sort of demonstrates multiple cultures. But I myself, you know, I don't see all the stuff as it's getting made, but when Loba's bantering in Spanish or Octane saying something under his breath, it's like, oh, that's speaking to me, that there's some connection there that if you're not a Spanish speaker, it doesn't really matter to you. But to me, it's like, oh, they took the time, the care, someone really thought through these things. And I think what's happening now is there's just this constant, you know, there's more people from various backgrounds coming into making games. Their contributions from a creative standpoint are pushing our medium further. They're pushing our content further. They're pushing the things we do in games to be unique and different, to cater to different audiences. And I think we're just at the forefront of it. I think it's only going to get better.
I just wanted to add, I think the games are the present and the future. And as they reach more people, there's going to be opportunities for even more diversity and more cultural backgrounds to join. because it has to. As the games grow and reach different areas that perhaps they haven't, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And Apex, I agree, has been a really wonderful example and a really fun game to make and to be able to reach other communities that maybe we wouldn't otherwise been able to.
Quick story. I remember I was living in Dominican Republic, and while I was there, I'll see a lot of people playing, you know, Super Nintendo. And I remember seeing a couple of our neighbors, their kids, playing Final Fantasy II straight up in English, and they don't know English. And they managed to finish the game. You know, now it's a lot easier. Now we get to see translations, like in subtitles, and also audio, voice actors from like different countries. So now it's a lot easier now for them to play these games and also feel like, okay, they're talking to me, you know. And also I was mentioning to the team the other day about Miles Morales, because, you know, I'm originally from New York City and I grew up in Uptown Manhattan. So my mom lived in Spanish Harlem, right? So I remember I moved to LA with my wife, and I'm starting playing Miles Morales. So when I got to see the moment where they're dancing, sorry, spoilers, where they're dancing salsa, like the neighborhood, right? I think Miles was walking, there was like a festival, something going on there, right? When I got to see that, I felt like it was connected, like I felt like I was home, you know? So I would love to see that more in the future in games, because I feel like that was a very, very important in my life, seeing that, you know, so for the first time, you know, so. You want to say anything?
That reminded me, I played Mario RPG before I knew English.
Oh my God.
Somehow I finished that game. So I'm looking forward to the re-release where I actually get to understand the story.
Awesome. Anybody else? Any questions? Yeah.
With everything that you know now, what would you tell your past self to focus on for getting in the industry?
Ooh, can I answer that real quick? Not give up. Because there's going to be a lot of moments that's going to be tough, right? There was moments I tapped out, like I almost completely gave up on doing this content creation thing, you know. So that, I think that's the advice I'll say to myself. Don't give up no matter what. Keep on going. And dreams do come true. Just got to stay focused. Keep on going.
I think for me, it would be to trust your gut. Your gut instinct really does drive you to what you really feel. When I was going into college, I knew that I wanted to follow art, but I didn't follow my instinct in doing it and thinking that I could actually do it. And I ended up switching later. And once I followed that instinct that was telling me you need to be in animation, you need to be in entertainment, you need to be making games, that's when it finally clicked for me, and I felt like I was in the right place. Your gut instinct will really drive you, and like just trusting yourself and pushing yourself to get past your insecurities is something really big. I mean, I struggle with anxiety and just those thoughts in your head of like, oh, well, you're not going to do it, or like, you can't do it, you're going to fail. And the truth is, you are going to fail, but you have to take those failures as learning experiences. How can I get better? What did I learn from this experience? And kind of pushing through to get where you want to be.
Trust your gut, also 100%. You know who you are. You know what drives you. As you were saying that, I, when I was in college, I worked at a bank for one day. I got the job. I interviewed. I got the job. I went in. And I was like, this isn't me. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I want to go do something else. You know, you need to pay bills, right? You need to pay rent. You need to eat. You need to do all this kind of stuff. Find that job, but try to find that opportunity that's going to give you that sort of like excitement, that thing that's going to get you out of bed in the morning, that's going to motivate you. I found that early on. I'm so fortunate that I did, but I did it because I trusted my gut on the things that I was like, okay, where do I want to go? I think the other thing too is what I said earlier, network. Find those people that are going to be your mentor, your supporter, and they're going to really sort of believe in you and give you those chances.
Two things for me. One is to not give up on the people that maybe are not as supportive to you at the beginning. Something that I've come to learn is that when my friends would worry about me or my parents, it wasn't because they either didn't believe in me or because they thought that I was out of my mind, but it was because they genuinely cared and they didn't want me to go into something that could potentially have a higher rate of failure. So it was coming from a place of care, and it's taken me years to be able to understand that. And now I'm getting proved on that as my kids tell me they want to become animators themselves. So now it's my turn to sort of role reverse that and be able to support them as well. The other thing would be 100% to network as early as possible, to get your name out there as soon as you can, because it's meeting people how you're going to be able to get an open doors that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been open to you, or that you would not known about. So definitely get your name out there as soon as you can. It's invaluable.
Yeah, I would say not everyone's going to like support you. There's going to be some major haters out there, but that doesn't really mean that you like can't do it. It really is like a mental battle sometimes. And so just believing in yourself and knowing that you're on the right path and that you're doing the best you can. And it's also like, it doesn't mean like it's a you problem. Like some people just don't understand your background, how you know, your upbringing. And so it's not so much like a you problem. It's just they don't really understand where you're coming from. But if you're really determined and passionate about something, I promise you hard work pays off and dreams do come true.
All right. One last question. Very, very short. Go ahead.
It's funny that you asked that question, because for me, that game was Miles Morales, and we've talked about it a little bit. There's a part in that game where Miles Morales' mom is making dinner for Christmas. And to me, that was like, I actually cried when I saw that, because just seeing like tostones and pasteles, like just being cooked there and like just walking around the apartment, it just felt like Christmas at my house. So I just really saw myself in that game. And to me, that meant so much. And if you explore in the game, there's also like a wall that has the Puerto Rican flag and you can take a picture with it. It was my banner on Facebook for like the longest time, because that game just means so much to me, just because of the representation that is there. I mean, New York has a ton of Puerto Ricans, and kind of like what you were saying, like, when you walk in the street, you see people dancing side to side, and like you see like the community coming together and celebrating the holidays. It just felt like home. And to me, that was just, it was really a really pivotal moment in my gaming journey that I've had so far.
Everyone, hands on applause, please. Respawn.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.